Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
Are you glad to be in the house of God this morning? Good, good. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, when you open them up, I'm going to go to two places in the beginning. I want to go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then I'm going to jump back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. While you're turning there, I just want to say, for those that may be here for the very first time as guests, we welcome you. But I want you to know that I'm not a guest. Part of the family. And I'm over on the other side, on the other coast in South Carolina, and just delighted always to be here. This amazing church, amazing family here at our Orange County campus, and that's all I'm saying. I'm ready to go. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay. Some of honorable use and some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart," notice that, "useful to the master, prepared for every good work." I love that. Special instrument, set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I'll come back to this later on. But now I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you don't have it, they'll put it up on the screen. I'll get there myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says this. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." And I'll stop right there for the sake of time. If you're taking notes or you want to write something down as far as a topic of this talk or discussion or sermon, whatever you want to call it, just write down it. I'll explain it in a little bit, but just write this down. Call it verified vessels. Verified vessels. It has always been the heart of God to use humanity to carry out his plans and purposes in the earth. From the beginning, we see in the Garden of Eden, when God came down, created man, created male and female. He gave them clear commandments. The Bible said to be fruitful and multiply, to rule, to reign, and have dominion over the earth. It was their responsibility to continue to perpetuate this pattern that would ultimately be family and civilization, carrying out God's agenda, his kingdom plan on the earth. And I want you to understand that God has not changed his mind, and still today, he looks to his church. He looks to the body of Christ. He looks to humanity to continue to be those instruments, or what I'm going to talk about today, vessels to carry out his purpose, plan, and his will. In 2 Timothy, the scripture tells us in verse 20, it says, "Now in a large house," one translation calls it a great house, it says, "not only are there gold and silver vessels, but there are some that are wood and clay. Some honorable and some for dishonorable." What is it talking about? It speaks that in a great house, I want to tell you, this is a great house, the church house, the body of Christ. In this house, it speaks of this, the diversity of the vessels. In this house, there's diverse vessels. Diversity when it comes to backgrounds, diversity when it comes to cultures, diversity when it comes to unique qualities. That's what it's speaking about. Every person under the sound of my voice have a unique quality. have a uniqueness about them, regardless of where, what your background is, what your origin is. In the eyes of God, you carry a unique quality and a uniqueness about you that God himself put in you and nobody else. Can I get a big amen there? That's why it's important that when God created you, Psalms 139 says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't make a mistake. God does not make nobodies. Everybody is somebody. And you need to understand that your uniqueness is intentional by God. That's why I should never live my life trying to be something else or be someone else other than who God has called and created me to be, because he knew what he was doing when he created you. Understand, it also speaks of the different purposes that these diverse vessels have. The different purposes. Each and every one of you have a purpose. You have a specific sphere of grace and faith that God has placed inside of each and every one of you. All of us will not be the same thing or do the same thing. Amen. When I look out into a room like this, you know, we use the term sometimes membership or members of a church. I don't just see members. What I see is ministries. What I see is different faces of God's grace. Peter puts it like this: behold the manifold grace of God. That manifold means multifaceted, like a diamond. It means that this diamond or this grace, it is multifaceted. It has different faces. And anytime you think of, oh, ladies know what I'm talking about, a multifaceted diamond, the different faces allows it, yeah, they know, allows it to shine in different, come on somebody, different types of ways. But notice that diamond does not possess its own light. That diamond reflects the light that comes upon it. And so when God's grace come into our lives, when I look out here, what I see is different faces of God's grace. And the reason why that's important and that's critical is because there's somebody, watch this, that needs to hear the testimony of God's grace through your life. Somebody needs to hear how you came over, how you came out, how you got through. That's why it's unique. Come on, somebody, are you with me? And then he goes on into 2 Corinthians. The scripture said this, that we have this treasure. Here it is, in earthen vessels. Notice what it said, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Treasure in an earthen vessel. That word earthen, some use the terminology clay pot or clay jars, but it actually expresses that vessel, the fragility of that vessel, how fragile it is. Oftentimes during those times that these vessels weren't always made of something grandeur. They weren't always made of something special or great. According to the text, it speaks of how fragile, they're earthen, how they're easily broken, and how they're just frail. That's what it speaks of. But isn't it something when you think about God that he says, even though I know that's the condition, watch this, of the container, I still desire to put myself in it. When he looks at us, he knows none of us. Matter of fact, the psalmist said he knows that we are but dust. Remember, man was created from the dust of the earth. But even in that, God said, I know that they won't be perfect. I know that they won't have it all together all the time and have everything made in the shade. But he said that does not, watch this, discredit or disqualify me from putting myself in them. And of all the things, he could have chosen angel. He's God Almighty. He could have used any possible thing that he wanted to, any creation that he could have came up with. But yet he said, my greatest investment that I want to put in this earth is called jars of clay called humanity. Now I gotta get you to see this. Notice he makes a clear distinction. He said that the excellency may be of God and not of us. Now I have to get you to understand he made a clear distinction here. Can I preach it? Can I talk to you like this? Because God was saying like this. Now I don't want you to get it twisted. Okay? Because he said the excellency is of God and not of us. In other words, don't get confused. Let me teach it like this. In other words, the container cannot get confused with the contents. Because sometimes the container wants to take credit that belongs to the contents. But I want to tell you, none of us are that good. I'm going somewhere. Don't confuse the container with the contents. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are not the treasure, come on, but we are carriers of the treasure, and we can't confuse the two. Because sometimes we'll walk around saying, look what I've done and look what I've accomplished and what I've achieved and what I told the last service, there's no, you hear this, I'm a self-made millionaire. You're not a self-made nothing. Because somebody had to buy your stuff. Matter of fact, let's just back it on up. Who woke you up this morning? Whose air are you breathing? Whose earth are you walking on? It may be your car, but it's not your ground. Okay, anyway, I'm not going to stay there. But my whole point, the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world that world and all that dwells within it. In other words, it's all mine. And we got to be careful that we never get so arrogant and high and mighty and self-conceited to think that we are all that and a bag of chips. The Bible said he that thinks he stand must take heed lest he fall. All I'm trying to tell you is don't confuse, come on, even your success with your contents, come on, your container, we got to give glory to the contents. All right, you'll appreciate this a little bit more, and I got to get to where I'm going because I want to tell you why that's important. Notice what the scripture said after this. It says this, that the power may be of God and not of us. And I'm going to tell you why this is important. Notice what it said. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Did you see that? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Wait a minute. I want to tell you, as vessels, we're not immune from hardship and struggle. Notice it said, the vessels, watch this, will be hard-pressed. The vessels, oh God, this is so good, will be, watch this, hard-pressed at times. Stuck between a rock and a hard place, it feels like. Surrounded and overwhelmed. Then it says we're perplexed, which means mental anguish, emotional, just overload. And then it said this, it says we're persecuted. Actually, the Greek means to be chased down. And then it goes on to say this right here. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, why I keep walking you through that? Because what you have to understand is that, notice, that there was a but between, watch this, what could have happened, but what didn't happen. And what kept, what should have probably happened and could have happened, but didn't happen, was the treasure. What he's saying is because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, even though I'm struck down, I will not be destroyed. Even though I'm persecuted, I may not be forsaken. Come on. Even though I'm pressed on every side, I will not be taken out. Because watch this. It's not that I'm so good, but it's because God is so good. And because it's the treasure in me. Let me put it this way. You had treasure before you ever had trouble. And it's the treasure, come on, that keeps you, come on, from the trouble consuming you. It was the treasure that kept you. It was the treasure that kept you from losing your mind. It was the treasure that kept you from going crazy. It was the treasure. It's the reason why the wreck didn't kill you. The drugs didn't take you out. Come on. It was the treasure that kept you sane and in your right mind. Even though you went through a horrible divorce, it was the treasure that even though you got laid off and lost your job, but you still was able to make it. And God provided. It was the treasure that kept you. I need 10 people to give glory to the treasure, and I'll move on. It was the treasure that kept me. The Bible goes on to say this about these, about vessels. Notice, I want you to understand that God chooses the vessels. Did you hear what I said? God chooses the vessels. And the reason why that's important, because sometimes, God, not sometimes, but God is not like man. Because man will choose people according to their likings. Choose people according to their standards and what they think and what they believe. We see that with Samuel, a prophet. He was a prophet. And he says, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Surely. He was for sure. Even prophets miss it sometimes. The scripture called him a seer. But sometimes the seer don't always see it right. I'm not neglecting it. I'm not beating it up. It just happens. It reminds us how much we still got to depend on God. Yeah, that's what it reminds us. It keeps you humble. But what I'm trying to get you to say is this point is God chooses the vessels. And what gets me is sometimes we try to disqualify people. We try to discredit people. But how you going to disqualify what you didn't call? How you going to discredit what you didn't create? Because God has this tendency about him that he chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Yeah, he chooses the strong, the weak things to confound the strong. Come on, he chooses those things that don't have all the knowledge, the wisdom, and the education to confound the people that have all the intellect, all the knowledge, and all the wisdom. That's how God does it sometimes. And I'm here to encourage somebody. Don't you give up on life because you've not felt chosen by man. You need to be understand you've been chosen by God, and nobody can change that. I know they walked out on you. I know they left you. I know they turned their back on you. I know they pretended to be your friend as long as you were giving them what they want. But when you set a boundary and cut them off, they start acting crazy, and now they don't choose you. That's okay. You are still chosen by God. You are God's choice. You don't understand, Javon, who you're talking to. You don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what I'm into and going through right now. I don't have to know what you've done. I don't have to know what you've done. You know why? Because I know what he did. And what he, watch this, his did is bigger than your done. And because what he did on the cross, come on, what he done on the cross is bigger than what you did or doing in your life. I choose to believe that the blood is greater, the cross is greater, the Holy Ghost is greater, righteousness and grace and mercy is greater. You may have done it, come on, but you're not it. His done is greater than your did. You know, honey, he just talking. Okay, all right, give me some scripture. Help me out, media team. Give me Acts chapter 9, I think it is. Yeah, that scripture there. Let me hold that for a minute because let me give you a little context of this because Ananias. Hey, yo, A. What up, A? That's what God, that's how I hear it in my mind. He said, Ananias, I need you to do something for me. And he said, I need you to go down the street called Straight and straighten this joker out. There's a man by the name of Saul. He needs to be straightened out. So he's on the street called Straight. But I need you to go over there and set some things straight. That's what he was saying. He said, I need you to go over there and lay hands on him and pray for. And Ananias was like, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt God, but I got one question. Who? Anna, who? Or maybe you weren't talking to me. Maybe I'm the wrong guy you're looking for. Or maybe you're trying to send me to the wrong guy. You mean you want me to go lay hands on him? Do you know who he is? Do you know he kills and persecutes Christians? Do you know he throws them in jail? Do you understand he tears down your church? Persecute your people, laughs at them and call them crazy, ignorant, and dumb. Matter of fact, this joker had the gall to stand by and watch one of our disciples hold clothes and watch one of our disciples be beaten and stoned to a bloody pulp while he sit back and laugh and poke fun and made sport of him. Is it him you're asking me to go to? And what I love about God, he said, but the Lord said to him, I don't care what people are saying to you. This is what I'm telling you. Go, for he is what? A chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles. Look at the influence he's going to have. He's going to have influence with unsaved people. He's going to be with kings up in the White House and the people of God. I'm going to give him three major spheres of influence. I need you to go lay your... What am I trying to tell you is this. When Ananias saw an assassin, God saw an apostle. When Ananias only saw a murderer, God saw a missionary. When Ananias only seen a persecutor, God said, no, he's going to be a prophet and a church planter. I have chosen him for my glory. And I want to tell somebody, you have been chosen to bring God's glory, and nobody can discredit you. I got to hurry. And then the scripture goes on. I got to get to where I got to get. In Daniel chapter 5, the scripture talks about stolen vessels. Belshazzar, wicked king, the scripture said he took the vessels out of the temple of God. The Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar had placed in them, and he began to fill those vessels with alcohol and wine and booze and stuff. And the scripture said he began to use those vessels. They would get drunk and worship their idol gods. And I wrote down, I saw stolen vessels, because there's an assignment and an agenda of the enemy to watch this come and steal the vessels from the house of God. Come and steal away with deception, with deceit, with lies, with hypocrisy. Come, notice the scripture said that he filled them with all, with booze and alcohol. In other words, there's an agenda of the, hear me when I say this, of the enemy, watch this, is to take vessels out of a great house and begin to intoxicate them with ideologies and indoctrinate them, come on, with things that are contrary to the scripture, that get them so full that they end up worshiping idols. I'm going to preach right here, because we see it. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was the enemy's assignment to a young generation. They wanted to get those vessels out of the temple of God and put them in a Babylonian society. And notice the first thing they did was change their identity. I'm not going to get no amens in here, but I didn't preach. I'm done preaching for amens. I come to preach truth. The assignment was the enemy was to change their identity, to get them thinking they were not what God created them and called them to be. And what the enemy wants to do to vessels of God, watch this, pervert your use, thinking he can prevent your purpose. The word, listen what the word pervert means. Alter from its original course, state, or meaning to a distortion or corruption of what was first intended. And we see a spirit of perversion like crazy, running rampant. Notice what the goal is: to corrupt. It is to distort from what it was originally intended for. Distort marriage from what it was originally intended for, between male and female. Distort identity. You can sit there all you want to. That's what's wrong sometimes. But I'm here. I've chosen to be a vessel and declare what God's word said, because we got our children the enemy is after, trying to indoctrinate and trying to mess up and confuse them about who they really are and telling them there's something different than what God created them to be. The devil is a liar. And I believe that God, come on somebody, is on a mission to reclaim his vessels. God's on a mission to raise up a remnant and a young generation that won't give in to the lies of the enemy, who will stand firm and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I need five people to give me an amen, and I'll move on.
I looked down in this thing right here and I said, yes, Lord, that's what he's doing right now. There's sons, there's daughters, there's brothers and sisters down in this platform and in this pulpit that we preach over, that we sing over, that we cry over, we worship over, we praise over in prayer. You know what I believe? That God is saying, I'm gonna reclaim these vessels for my glory. I know, come on. I need some moms to get excited. I need some dads to get excited. I need somebody, if you got a loved one in there, by faith, throw your hands up and declare, reclaim vessel. It's coming back to its proper place. Somebody shout, bloody vessels. Bloody vessels. There it is. Somebody's like, oh my God, what is that? Bloody. Everything just went south. Just hold on a minute. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21. The Bible said, then likewise, he sprinkled blood. Watch this. He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Let me tell you what the priest did. It was a unique thing. He went in, and the priest inside the tabernacle. These were vessels or instruments that was used, watch this, or designated to, in the use of worshiping God. And they were on the inside of the tabernacle. In other words, most of them weren't seen with the public eye. But they were seen by the priest in private. And what I'm talking about is bloody vessels. It's, watch this. I'm talking about vessels, hear me, that are not often seen in the public, but are doing amazing things in the private. Because everybody didn't see them in the inside. Watch this. The people didn't see them. Watch this. But the priest saw them. And I'm not talking about Aaron the priest. I'm talking about Jesus the high priest. Because your Father, who sees you in secret, knows how to reward you openly. And I want to talk to some people today. Because, oh God, we glamorize the scene in this culture. We glamorize. Is it seen? What's on the stage? Who's out front? Who sees it all? Who's got all the notoriety? Who's got that? We glamorize that. And we have made a mistake thinking that if it's not visible, it's not vital. I'm talking to nursery workers down in Discovery. I'm talking to the sound guys in the back. I'm talking about parking lot people. I'm talking about people you never may stand on the pulpit, but you're running small groups in private. I'm talking about people that are meeting with people and having dinner with them and going out to eat and encouraging them that no pastor may be able to see and Pastor Franklin may not be able to see it, but the priest sees what you're doing in private. I'm talking to a single dad and a single mom that's making it happen on your, come on somebody. Nobody may not see it, but God sees it. That's why they call it vital organs. You don't see them. They're underneath. Well, all my medical people, they know what I'm talking about. What are you go to the doctor, they said, let me check your vitals. Because they understand stuff on the inside can give you the real reality despite what you see on the outside. See, your body has three. Oh, let me hurry up. Listen, your body is made up of three vital things like this. Think about it. There's arteries, there's veins, and there's capillaries. Think about those. They take blood from the body, bring blood to from the heart, bring blood to the heart, and the capillaries connect them both. And yeah, you might see a few on people's arms and stuff like that. But you don't see all the internal work. But how many of you know that that is so vital to our existence? And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll glamorize the seen and forget about the unseen. But the Lord said, I see the bloody vessels. I want to encourage somebody that your labor is not in vain. Don't you dare get upset because you hadn't got all the hand claps and the pats on the back. And I'm not saying that shouldn't happen to you. But what I am saying, if it don't happen to you, let me remind you, all you do it unto the Lord. And know that he sees every bit of it. And he says, I will not forget your labor of love. I gotta hurry now. Somebody said verified vessels. When you come to John chapter 2, at the wedding of Canaan, most of the time our emphasis is on the new wine. It's on the wine. It's on Jesus, the miracle of the wine. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's mainly on that. And in this wedding, we know the Bible said Jesus, he brought new wine. He did a miracle of wine. And the scripture said that the man said, you saved the best to last. Which there's, I believe, some prophetic implications to that, because I don't believe, hear my heart, I don't believe we've seen God's best. I don't believe. We've seen God has done, and he's doing great things. But Jesus said, I saved the best for last. Could it be the greatest moves of God have yet? Come on, somebody. I think we're on the edge of it, though. I think we're just right there, though. I think that if I could see it in my mind, it's like a dam that's getting ready to break, and it's full of pressure. Because, oh, come on, somebody. Come on, I can see it, that we're right there. But I don't believe the greatest moves of God have happened yet. I don't believe all the books have been written, all the songs have been written, all the ministries have been written. I know that we have seen God move, but could it be that there's some wine that he's waiting to pour out that we've never tasted and seen before? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verified vessels. What I'm getting to, the focus has been on the wine, but we wouldn't see the wine if we didn't have the vessels. What verified them? The Bible said real quickly in John chapter 2, it says there, standing nearby, they'll put it up on the screen. John chapter 2, can you put it? There it is. Nearby stood the water pots, or the vessels, meant to be used for Jewish washing rituals. Each one could hold 20 gallons or more. Notice that each one could hold 20 gallons or more. Jesus came to the service and instructed them, fill the pots with water, right up to the very brim. Let me give you to this real quick. Are you ready? What verified him? Jesus said they were standing nearby. In other words, those vessels are near. Can I tell you, church, hear me this morning. This is not the time to try to have this long distance relationship with God. This is not the time to be vacillating back and forth. In and out, one foot in church, one foot out. Today I love him. Today I'm living for heaven. Tomorrow I'm living for hell. This is not the time to just do church on Sunday and I don't read the Bible. It's just an accessory on my outfit on Sunday. I'm not being ugly, but this is not the time. He's looking for vessels that will be near, because there's power in proximity. Jesus said in John 15, he said this, I am the vine, you are the branch. Away from, he said, abide in me and I in you. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Watch this. But away from me, you can do nothing. He said, I don't want distance between us. I want closeness between us. And if you come close, come on, then you position yourself to not just bear fruit. He said, much fruit. If I can have much fruit, I won't settle just for fruit. I want much fruit. I don't want his permissible will. I want his perfect will in my life. I want all that he says that I have. Because closeness created a capacity. Did you read the scripture that said that they could hold about 25 gallons apiece? Well, it implies that these held more than the previous ones that ran out. In other words, closeness will create a capacity for us to carry more of what God wants to do. Do you remember Peter and John? The Bible said that when they saw the boldness and the courage and the authority that Peter, they walked in, knowing that they were ignorant and unlearned, the only thing that they concluded was this: they have been with the Lord. They have been with the Lord. When you've been with God, it will mark your life. You may not know Hebrew. You may not know Greek. You may not know all of that. So every 66 chapters of the Bible. You may not know eschatology, pneumatology, whatever. I'm not against any of that. But I'm telling you, but it's possible to have all that head knowledge and still not carry presence on your life. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. But what I'm telling you, when you've been with him, something about you, you carry something. And this world needs vessels that carry something. Carry compassion. Carry love. Carry grace. Carry mercy. And you can be compassionate and not compromise. I don't have to compromise my standards to show you love. And that's what God is looking for. Can I get some vessels that will stay close enough that I can build a capacity to carry the gospel, the love of Christ, to a world that's dying and hurting? God dealt with me a couple weeks ago. And it was about my own closeness. You can get so busy doing work for God. You can get so busy doing ministry. Let me tell you something. Do not confuse work for God with a relationship with God. I had a mentor tell me one time, he said, Javon, he said, I had to learn this the hard way. He said, but before, listen to this. Listen to all preachers and students and college, if they're in here. Listen to this. This is what he told me. He said, I was a better Christian before I became a pastor. And what he meant was, when I became a pastor, I was so focused on being a better pastor, being a better leader, being a better pastor, blah, 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 blah. I wasn't becoming a better Christian, because the Bible had become a tool for performance and not a lunchbox for my spirit. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. And the Lord said, where's that young boy? Watch this. Before you were seen. When you'd walk out in those areas, nobody knew you. Nobody invited you nowhere. But you would spend hours walking around in those distributions talking to me, just telling me how much you love me. I don't want to get so, whatever that is, we can get so caught up in trying to be prominent, we forget the passion that God plucked us out of us before you ever got any place in a palace. And God said, I'm calling you closer. Come back. Come back. Come back. There's more. Come back.
And then it said, these were set aside. I'm getting there. I'm almost done. It said they were set apart for Jewish washing and cleansing. In other words, they would go to those pots and they were set apart so they could use the water to wash themselves on the outside, because they thought when they washed themselves on the outside, they were clean. Notice it was six of them. Six is the number of man. Because man can wash you on the outside, but only Jesus can cleanse you on the inside. Only Jesus. But they were set apart. This is what holiness is. Holiness means that I am set apart. I've been set apart. I've been consecrated. I've been selected by God for a specific and unique purpose. That's why he told Jeremiah, before you was in your mother's womb, I sanctified you. I set you apart. Isn't that something? So what God is saying, you were dead. I set you apart before you even stepped into this earth. You were meant to be set apart. I didn't call you to be popular. I didn't ask you to fit in with everybody. I called you to be set apart. That's what it means to be holy. And holiness is it. Listen, let me give it to you like I wrote it right here real quick, because I wanted you to hear this. Listen to this. When you start talking about holiness, listen to this. Holiness means to be set apart. But holiness, here it is a divine calling, not a human accomplishment. I just said a mouthful. Holiness, watch this, is a divine calling, not a human accomplishment. Why do you think we need the Holy Spirit? You can't be holy on your own if you wanted to, but you position yourself. Good God. That's why the scripture said, he who purifies himself as a vessel, you will position yourself to be purified and sanctified and cleansed. But it's the Holy Spirit in us. We're made clean by the washing of the word. Don't confuse the container with the contents. The contents does the cleaning. Can I give you this last one? Am I good? There's actually two, but I'm gonna give you this. The one that got me was this right here. Is that when Jesus told him to go get those vessels, they were near, but they were also available. I got a question to you. You ready? If you're gonna be a verified vessel, are you available? I know it seems like a simple question, but are you really available? Can God interrupt your schedule? Or am I so busy about my business, I can't be about his business? I'm not neglecting work hard. That's not what I'm saying. Because see, watch this. God doesn't require perfection, but he does require priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And my question to you, are you available? And this is going to make sense right here in a moment, because you can say, oh, of course I'm available. Of course I'm available. I'm here. Because see, God, there was a time when the earth, when the society was corrupt, and God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. I looked for some vessels. I looked for some people. I look for a church. I look for a people. I sought for a man to stand in the gap. I sought for somebody that would pray and not just complain. Would pray and not just post. I sought for some people that actually, come on, do something and quit talking about everything that ain't right. But I need somebody that will do something right and show themselves a pattern of good works. I sought for a man or a woman, and I found nobody. And watch this, we use this often. We use this at altar calls.
The Lord is here, and he stands at the door and knock. If you will allow me, if you will open up the door, I will come in and sup with you, and you and me will have fellowship.
That's not to a sinner. That's not to an unbeliever. You know who he was talking to? He was talking to the church. He was talking to a Laodicean church. They had money, they had lights, everything was cool, everything was good. We just doing church, but they had become lukewarm and apathetic. And Jesus was saying, I don't even have access to my own church. I stand at the door, not to unbelievers. I'm knocking on the doors of my people and saying, can I come in? Are you available? Can I come with you? Can I burden you? Can I burden you to intercede? Can I burden you to believe for a college? Can I burden you to believe for your school? Can I burden you to believe for your elementary? Can I burden you to believe for Orange County, for Irvine, for the West Coast? Can I burden you to believe for a move of God in your government, a move of God in this state, a move of God around the world? Are you available? How long do I have to keep knocking?
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Free Chapel OC.